Holding on the bottom of the Daf Gimel Amud Aleph at Tanu Rabbanan, two lines from the bottom of the page. So remember, we had that whole fantastic Maisa with Eliyahu Hanavi and Rabbi Yossi, and Eliyahu saw him in the Churva and stood guard for him as he was in the Churva, and then Eliyahu Hanavi gave it to him over the head a little bit. What are you doing davening in the Churva? It's a dangerous place, you're not supposed to go there. But the Gemara didn't explain what was dangerous about it. So we're going to have three possibilities of what the danger is, and then we're going to question why we need three possibilities, the Mainafka Mina between these different possibilities anyway. So Tanur Rabbanan, Mipnei Shlosh Advar, Mein Nechnas on the Churva. There are three reasons why a person should not go into a Churva. Mipnei Chashad, either because you're going to be suspect of doing inappropriate things, as Rashi says, Shlo Yomru Zona Mukhenes Lo Sham, that people shouldn't say that you have a Zona, that there's a prostitute there waiting for you in the Churva, because if you're going into highly secretive places, it doesn't generally look good. Second, Mipnei HaMapoles, the Churva is a dilapidated ruin, so we have to be worried that it might fall in, cave in on you at any point in time, and that is dangerous. And third, Mipnei HaMazikin, that there's a concern that there are, that in any sort of abandoned area, that there are all sorts of negative spiritual forces. I'm not exactly sure how to translate Mazikin, but there is this sort of negative spiritual vibe, if you will. Mipnei Chashad, says Gemara, Mipnei Chashad v'tebegle mishum mapoles. Why do you need to say that the concern is because of a... why do I need three reasons? One of these reasons would be good enough to keep you out of a churva. Shouldn't any of these reasons be good enough? So says Gemara, no, b'chadati. Because if it's a brand new churva, so as Rashi writes, shenafla mechadash on the top, Chadati, the Tuf and the Shin are interchangeable, so it means Chadash, that it's a brand new Churva. Rashi writes, Shenafla Mechadash, that had just fallen, Shachomash Lo Nafla Va'odena B'chaskasa, that the walls are still stable, and it's not going to cave in on you. Whatever's left there is still stable, so it's not going to cave in on you. So if the whole issue were Mapolas, then you have nothing to be worried about, but you still got to worry about the other things. So says the Gemara, but for typically Mishum Mazikin, why isn't Mazikin alone a good enough reason? Why do I need any other reason other than Mazikin? So I'm going to betray, because when you're two people, the Mazikin stay away from you. That's why the Gemara says at the beginning of Pesachim, a person's not supposed to be Yetze Yechidi Balayla. You're not supposed to go out alone at night, because alone is when one is vulnerable to Mazikin. But if you're not alone, you have other people with you, like a second person with you, then you don't have to be worried. So frek the Gemara, but I betray chashad nami leka. But if there are two people, then you don't have the concern of chashad either. Meaning two people takes away the concern of mazikin, it also takes away the concern of chashad. Why does two people take away the concern of chashad, of being with the zona? So you should know this. Anyone who learned Kiddushin last year? Two men and one woman is permissible because men are embarrassed to do things like that in front of each other. And that's where Rashi points out, Ditnan, because it says in Kiddushin Peyam and Beis, Aval Isha Misiachades Im Shnei Anashin, that a woman is allowed to have Yichud with two men. What do you remember about that, though? Is that always true that a woman is allowed to be with two men? Not if they're Prutzim. So says Gemara, that's the difference. Betray Upritzi. If there are two guys and they're prutzim, the mazikim will stay away from you, but the concern of znus is still very much there when you're dealing with prutzim. Mipnei ha-mapoles, so we said that there is this concern of the wall caving in on you, but whenever there is that concern, v'tebeklei mishum chashad ha-mazikin, shouldn't you not go there anyway because of the other two concerns? Because of chashad mazikin, meaning when is there, yes, going to be a concern of mapoles, but not be a concern of chashad of znus and mazikin? Says Mar, very simple, betray uksheri. If there are two people and they're kosher people, you don't have to worry about mazikin because there are two people. You don't have to worry about znus because they're kosher. But you still have to worry about the structural integrity of the building that you're in. So that's a situation where mapolas is going to be relevant. Asks the Gemara, mipnei hamazikin. We said that mipnei hamazikin is sometimes the reason to stay away. But when is that ever the reason and the other reasons don't apply. When do you ever have a case where mazikin is the concern, but znus and the structural integrity of the place are not a concern? It says, if it's brand new, so the structural integrity is intact, and there are two people and they're kosher, so you don't have to worry about znus, but you're still worried about mazikin. That's the case. What's the obvious question? You shouldn't have to worry about mazikin either. Why not? Because there are two people. I betray mazikin namilaka. If there are two people, what are you worried about mazikin for? Answers the Gemara, bimekoman chayshinan. When you're on their home turf, two people's not enough to keep away the mazikin. As Rashi writes, bimekoman chayshinan, bimakom shehem mitzuyin. Tadir, the place where you always find mazikin, chayshinan afilu betray. We have to be concerned even if you have two people. So it's one thing, mazikin aren't going to come find you when you have two people, but if you went to find them, two people is not going to keep them away. V'i bayaseima, or a second possibility, li olam b'chad, really it's talking about one person, u b'chor b'chaditi, and it's a new chorva, and still we're not worried about znus. You know why? D'kai b'dabra, because you're in a field. You don't have any concern of chashad when you're in a field. Why not? Because women don't hang out in the fields, and therefore you don't have to worry that a woman is there. But shedim and spiritual forces and bad things do happen out in the fields. So, main point number one. The reasons that we need three reasons not to enter a churva. Mapolas only applies if it's old. Right, there are limits on each of the reasons. Mapolas only applies if it's old. What does mapolas mean? That stuff might fall down, right? Second was mazikim only applies if you're alone, possibly only if you're alone, and if it's in and not in their place, right? Chashad only if you're alone or with prutzim and not in a field. Chashad, which is the znus one, only if you're alone or with prutzim and not in a field. Good, okay, now we go on. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Arba mishmaros havi alay l'divir Rebbe. Remember we said on Amud Aleph, we were questioning, what does Rabbi Elazar hold when he says the latest time to say Kriya Shema Shalavis is Sof Hashmura Rishona? How many Hashmuras is he assuming there are? So we had two possibilities of how many Hashmuras there might be. What were the two possibilities? Three or four. And we said, oh, Rabbi Elazar holds there are three. But what made us believe that there's either three or four? So it's this. We have a machlokas tanaim, whether there are three or four mishmaros during the night. Tan Rabbanon, arba mishmaros havi alay l'divir Rebbe. There are four mishmaros in the night, according to Rebbe. Rabbi Nosson Omer, shalosh. Rabbi Nosson says, no, not four, just three. My time with Rabbi Nosson, why does Rabbi Nosson say that there are three? Where does he get this idea? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, and where is this pasuk? Shoftim. Vayavo gidon umeya ish asherito b'kzeh machane rosh ha'ashmores Hatichona, keyword is the last one. Hashmaras Hatichona. Hashmaras Hatichona means the middle mishmar. Well, you can only have a middle if you have an odd number, right? So three, you can have a middle. If there are four children in your family, there is no middle child, so everyone's normal. But if there are five children in your family, then there's a middle child. So and then who suffers through that, that fate. So Ashmura Hatichon, if there's a middle one, so that means that there must be three. So Tana in Tichona El Shiesh Lefna Lachra. We know middle means that there's one before and one after. There has to be before and after. The Rebbe might Tichona. So how's Rebbe going to answer that? Rebbe said there are four Mishmaros in the night. How's he going to address the middle one? So he says, no, what are you talking about? If there are four kids in your family, you have two middle children. Achas mina tichonos shebetichonos. It's one of the middle ones, but it doesn't have to be an exact middle one. Anyone between the two extremes is in the middle. Rabbi Nosson miksiv tichonos shebetichonos. Tichonaksiv. Rabbi Nosson would say it doesn't say one of the middle ones. It says the middle one. So don't tell me that there are four. There have to be three. Good. So now we know Rabbi Nosson's svara is because of the word tichona. My time at the Rebbe. Where did Rebbe get the idea that there are four mishmaros? Amar Rabbi Zreika, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Shoben Levi. He got it from the following. Kasav Echad Omer. One pasuk says, Chatzos Laila Akum Lahodos Lecha Al Mishpitei Tzidkecha. What is that pasuk? Who's talking in that pasuk? Someone's talking about waking up. David HaMelech in Tehillim is talking about waking up at Chatzos HaLaila to give Hodah to Hashem on his righteous justice, on his righteousness, on his good stuff. V'kasav v'echad omer, and there's another pasuk that says, Kidmu Einai Ashmoros, that my eyes open up before Ashmoros. Before Ashmoros is not Ashmara, it's Ashmoros, it's plural. Before Tumishmoros. So he's describing when does he wake up? Chatzos, and Chatzos is before Tumishmoros. Ooh, so Haketzad, how does that work out? Arba Mishmoros, Havi Halayla. There are four Mishmoros in the night. If you wake up, pumped at midnight, right in the middle, you woke up before Tumishmoros. So what's Rabbi Nassim going to do with that? How's Rabbi Nassim going to respond to that? Yields there are only three. Rabbi Nassim, Savi like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Nassim is like Rabbi Yeshua. Ditnan, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ad Shalosh Sha'os, Shekein Derech Malachim Lamod B'Shalosh Sha'os. Whoa, this has nothing to do with anything. What are we talking about over here? Rabbi Yeshua has an opinion about when? What? When to say Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. And he says, you know when you can say Kriya Shema Shel Shachris still? Till 3 hours, because that's when kings get up. So says Rabbi Nassim, so it's perfect. Why is David HaMelech waking up two full Mishmaros early? Because if you hold there are three Mishmaros in the night, how long is each one?
4 hours.
So what David HaMelech is saying is, I'm waking up 8 hours before other kings. Not that there are still two Mishmaros in the night, but there is the length of two Mishmaros that most other kings are still sleeping, and I'm waking up. So if he's waking up at Chatzos, how many more hours are there in the night? Six more hours in the night. When do kings wake up? The beginning of the third hour, which means after 2 hours of the day. So David HaMelech is saying, I wake up a full 8 hours before the rest of the kings. Shis delele, you have the six of night, v'tarti diyamama, and the two of the day, havlu shtei mishmaros, and that's two mishmaros. Rav Ashi says, no, there's a simpler answer. You don't have to do these fancy cheshbonos with when kings wake up. Mishmaru upalga nami mishmaros karilahu. You can call something in the plural even if it's just one and a half. Even though it's only one and a half, you can call that in the plural. It's actually a discussion in Poskim. Does that mean that you're allowed to use one and a half loaves of bread for Lecha Mishnah? Because you call it multiple, you call it two. It's the same as two. So Pashtus is not that way, but there are... what? So there's discussion in the Matzah and Pesach. Exactly, that's the other sugya that's relevant to that shayla. There's a famous netziv that holds that if you only have one full loaf of bread for Lecha Mishnah, just cut it in half, present it to somebody, because he thinks the definition of a full loaf is based on how it's presented to you. It's not based on whether it was baked that way. So he thinks, get someone else to say, here, this is the only loaf of bread I have. They'll bring it into the kitchen, they'll cut it in half, then they'll bring it to you. And then you'll say, oh, that's two loaves of bread now, because it's all based on the way it's presented to you. Fascinating shita, not what we normally assume. Main point number two, Rebbe holds there are four mishmaros, Rebbe Nelson holds there are three. Rabbi Nassim is based on Tichona, the middle Mishmar. And Rabbi is based on David HaMelech waking up two Mishmaros early at Chatzos. David HaMelech waking up two Mishmaros early at Chatzos. Okay. Va'amar Rabbi Zreka, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Ein om v'nei ha-meis el dvar v'shal meis. You're not supposed to schmooze in front of the meis unless it's things that relate to the meis, to the needs of the meis. Amar Rabbi Abba bar Kana lo amran el b'divrei Torah. That means you're not supposed to be talking in Divrei Torah in front of the mace. Avamili Yalma Leslan Baba. You want to talk about other things, that's fine. You don't only have to be talking about the mace. If you look at Rashi, Elul Ledvar Halacha, Osr Lesaper Lefan of Rashi says, you're not allowed to say Dvar Halacha in front of him. Shakol Chayavim Lesaper Behen. Because normally you're supposed to be talking and learning all day. That's a very important concept. Loeg larash. What's loeg larash? you're mocking the destitute. It's like showing off your new iPad to someone who's poverty stricken and who can't afford anything. So it's mocking someone who can't afford something. So you're taking a person who can no longer do mitzvahs, who can no longer talk and learning, and you're going to talk and learning in front of him? That is loeg larush. There's a discussion in the poskim whether it's a more severe violation in front of a meis Talmud Chacham or more severe in front of a meis Ama'aretz. Some say it's worse in front of a meis Talmud Chacham because he really would have been talking and learning if he was alive. Others say, no, the meis Talmud Chacham actually did learn. So, you know, adrav, it's a nachas ruach for him. But in a meis Ama'aretz, where his time is up and he never did anything with himself, that would be the ultimate loeg larush. Because there's another Gemara that says the Talmud Chacham Shemes Moshivin Yeshiva Al Kivro, and we set up a yeshiva right there, so it sounds like you're supposed to learn by Talmud Chacham Shemes. So discussion, okay, not for now. V'ikadamri Amar Rabbi Abar Kadilo Amar Ela Afilu B'Divrei Torah V'Kol Shemim V'Yalma. The other version is that you're not even allowed to say Divrei Torah. Certainly, you're not allowed to talk about the Mets and the Yankees or the Jets and Giants, for that matter, or whatever your sport of choice is, or whatever else other people talk about, Donald Trump. So main point number three. You can't say Torah by a mace, machlokas if you're allowed to say other things. Machlokas if you're allowed to talk about other things. Now we'll go back to David Amelk's unusual schedule. David Amelk said he woke up really early. How early? 8 hours early. Would David bepalga deleli havakai? Would David really wake up at chatzos halayla? May or to havakai. David woke up earlier than chatzos halayla. He woke up it was the earlier part of the night. So David HaMelech says that he woke up in Neshef, which means earlier. So my die Neshef or two. How do you know what the word Neshef means? How do you know that means earlier? Neshef is a reference to Erev Yom. So you see, it's the earlier part. So it's a question. How can you say David HaMelech woke up in Chatzos? He woke up before that. What David HaMelech was saying was not that he woke up at Chatzos. Of course he woke up earlier than that. He was saying, I was never still sleeping at Chatzos. I was always up. By the time Chatzos hit, I was always up. Rabbi Zeira Omer, Ad Chatzos Laila Havim Misnam. Then Rabbi Zeira says a different answer. That until Chatzos, he would be dozing, kisus, like a horse, meaning in and out of sleep. Mikan ve'elach, and from Chatzos on, he must gaber kari. He would strengthen himself like a lion. Rav Ashi Amar, a third approach. Ad Chatzos Laila Yosef B'divrei Torah. Mikan ve'elach b'shiras v'tishbachos. Up until Chatzos, he would be involved in Torah study. After that, he would be singing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, main point number four. There's a stira in when David woke up. Whether David woke up at Chatzos or before. Three answers. A, he was already up at by Chatzos. B, he was dozing like a horse for the first half of the night. And C, he learned for the first half of the night. So now it says the Gemara, the Neshef Orta, is Neshef really Orta? Is it really night? HaNeshef Tzafu, Neshef isn't the early part of the night. It's actually morning. Meaning we said that David HaMelech woke up at Neshef, which is supposedly the early part of the night. But that's not true. That's not what the word Neshef means. It actually means morning. How do I know that? Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, Vayakim David mehaneshef v'yad ha'erev l'macharasam. That David HaMelech smote them from Neshef until evening. So, my love, mitzafer v'adele, doesn't that mean from morning till night? Just from context? Says Gemara, lo, mei orta v'yad orta. It means from night till the next evening. So, ask Gemara, ihachi lichtov mei ha'neshef v'yad ha'neshef, o mei ha'erev v'yad ha'erev. Well, that's a super confusing way to write that he was beating on them for 24 hours. You should have said from Erev until Erev, or from Neshef till Neshef. Why would you change the word you use to describe night in mid-sentence? You can't be more confusing than that. Ella amarava trei nashvi havu. There are two types of Neshef. Neshef lele, va'asi yamame, Neshef yamame, va'asi lele. That when Neshef lele happens, then day comes. Meaning that the Neshef means that Rashi says it means kafat vi Allah, that it jumps up. So when Neshef Yamama, the day jumps up and then night comes. It jumps out of the way for night, and night jumps out of the way for day. So ask the Gemara, but David miyavi yada palga deleva emas. Okay, so we said that David was for sure up at Chatzos, by Chatzos, right? Does he know exactly when Chatzos is? To be able to identify that he wakes up at Chatzos, he has to be able to, with precision, he has to have an atomic clock to know when Chatzos is. But we know that atomic clocks were not yet invented in the times of David HaMelech. Checkmate, David. How in the world did you know that you woke up exactly at Chatzos? So says Gemara, Hashtu Moshe Rabbeinu lo havi yada. And if you think that, even Moshe didn't know when Chatzos was. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was talking about Max Bechor, said, Kechatzos alayla, ani yotzi b'toch Mitzrayim. When it's like Chatzos, when it's around Chatzos, I'm going to go out in Mitzrayim, my Kechatzos. Why do you think Moshe Rabbeinu used the term like Chatzos? What, you think it's because Hashem said to Moshe, I'm going to go, I don't know, it depends how busy you are, maybe around Chatzos? No, God is not talking around, he's guessing maybe you'll be available. You think God has any doubt about exactly what time he'll be available to go and do Makas Bechoros? Ela da Amarlei Bechatzos. God said to Moshe, I'm going to go exactly at Chatzos. Moshe, though, wasn't sure exactly how to calculate that, so he said Kichatzos, because he didn't know exactly when Chatzos was. No human being could know exactly when Chatzos was. So it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the ability to know that fact, to know when Chatzos is. V'David aviyoda, and David would know. What major invention happened between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of David HaMelech that David would know it and Moshe wouldn't know it? But what the Gemara is asking seems to be even more than that. The Gemara is assuming whatever Moshe Rabbeinu knows scientifically, whatever David knows scientifically, rather, Moshe must have known. That it's impossible that David knows something that Moshe didn't, which is a very big chiddush to assume that that's impossible. Why is that impossible? We know that Moshe is the greatest Navi of all time. It's one of our Ikari Amunah. Israel, Kamosha Od. But what does this have to do with Nevuah? So apparently the only way a human being could know exactly when Chatzos is through Nevuah. So if Moshe didn't have that level of Nevuah to know exactly when Chatzos is, David's going to have it? So it answers the Gemara a couple of possibilities. First of all, David Simana Havaleh. David, there was actually technology that David developed to tell him exactly when Chatzos was. And that's how he knew. Here's how we would do it. Amar Rav Acha Bar Pizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Kinor Hayatali the Malim Mitasu Shel David. David was a musician, so he was familiar with the technological advancements of instruments. So he took a harp, and he would hang it above his bed. And when Chatzos came, Ruach Tzvonis, a northern wind would blow, Venoshevisbo would blow against the harp, and the harp would play music on its own. So he set up an alarm system. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at very, very exact times, puts signs in this world when we hit certain benchmarks. We saw that yesterday, right? Where did we see that yesterday? What did we see yesterday? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in with the dog wailing and the donkey braying and the right and whatever the fox says, and we saw all these different things signify specific times in this world. So the harp would blow on its own at exactly Chatzos. So David HaMelech would wake up from the alarm clock, he'd get up and he would learn Torah until Amar HaShachar. This is obviously in disagreement with what we said before. We said before he learned Torah the first half of the night, and the second half of the night he was busy with Shiras and Shabbos. What? Right, so this is in disagreement with that opinion though. Kivan Shalom and HaShachar, and then once Amar HaShachar came, this was David's daily schedule apparently. Nichnasu Chachmei Yisrael Etzlo. On a typical day, the Chacham would come to him, Amr Lo, and they would say to him, Adonenu HaMelech, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa, that Master the King, your people need Parnasa. Amr Lahem, Luchu V'sparnasu Zemizei. He's like, I got a great idea. Let the rich people support the poor people. Why don't they support each other? They'll give each other Parnasa. Amr Lo, Eina Kometz Masbiya Asari. The rich people aren't rich enough to support all those poor people. Kometz, you know what Kometz is? By the Karm Milcha, you take three fingers full. That's not enough to satisfy a lion. Meaning, the rich people have a kmitza of flour. The poor people are like hungry like lions. It's not going to be enough to satisfy everybody. It's not enough. Ve'ina bor mismali mechuyaso. And a pit cannot be refilled with its own dirt. Ironically, I'm not sure why. Amar lahem, I always thought it could be more than refilled, but okay. Amar lahem luchu upashu yudechem begdud. You should go and take spoils from war. miyad yotzim b'achitofel, so they would go to Achitofel for advice, v'nimlachim b'sanhedrin, and they would consult the Sanhedrin, v'shol in burim v'tumim, or they would ask burim v'tumim, and they would go out and fight a melchemes harashus, so that they could have spoils to support them. Amr of Yosef, Maikra, what's the pasuk that indicates this? V'achre Achitofel b'noyo ben yoyado v'evyasar v'sar tzva l'melech yoav. That's the pasuk. Achitofel zayoetz. Achitofel is the one they would go to for advice. He is the yoetz. V'cheinu omer v'atzas Achitofel asher ya'atz b'yamim ha'em kasher yishal b'divrei elokim. That Achitofel was always the advice giver. B'noyo ben yoyado zesanhedrin. B'noyo ben yoyado, that was the Sanhedrin. That was the second step. V'evyasar Elu Urim V'tumim. If Yasser is a Kohen Gadol, he's the one that you go to. He's the Urim V'tumim. V'cheinu Omer, uvnayo ben yoyada, ala kresi v'ala plesi. Let's stop there, actually. So what the Gemara has told us so far, let's summarize this. Main point number, what are we up to? Five. How could David have known when Chatzos is, if even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know? So we're going to ultimately have, I think, three answers, but so far today we only did one. So answer number one is, how could David know when Chatzos is? Moshe didn't know? He developed the technology to know. He developed the technology of the harp blowing at midnight to be able to figure it out. That's how he knew, even though... What? Whatever. He knew how to tap into that thing of nature. Apparently that's a thing in nature, that the northern wind blows at exactly Chatzos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into nature. So he knew how to tap into that. So that's how he knew, even though Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't know when Chatzos was.